Amen. What a great day. And it feels like we're just now starting to what all God is doing just in our midst today. For those who've been around, we are almost at the finish line. We are right at the finish line with all that's happening on the inside. Then we have the outside yet to go. But we are almost there. A few more touches here and now. Some more work on the sound and the boards here, and just all, a few more things yet to come. We're almost there. I do want to thank some of the folks who have been a part. If you are on the build team, if you have done any work here to make this look nice, and if you're one of the contractors here today, would you please stand for us so we can acknowledge you right now? We want to thank you very much for your work. Jessica is not here, and I think she and Gary probably have spent the most time in all of this, and she was really happy not to be here when we made this kind of announcement. But when you see her, hug her neck, because she has done a great job in organizing a lot of this and putting in a lot of effort and make this place a beautiful place of worship. A lot's going on today. And that's very appropriate for this day. This is Pentecost. Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit comes upon the people of God. When he comes, when he came, he created a new community, a new kind of community. A community that was marked by Christ's presence. A community that was empowered to serve as living witnesses of what salvation is. A community that is and was united by sacrificial service. When the Holy Spirit comes upon the people of God, he creates a new kind of community, a community marked by Christ's presence, a community that is empowered to be living witnesses of the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, and a community that is united in a unique way by sacrificial service. As we look at Pentecost, we're going to look at four things. We're going to see how the Spirit of God can be with his people. We're going to see how the Spirit of God gives the power to witness, how the Spirit of God creates a new kind of community, and finally, how the Spirit of God creates and builds a kingdom people. Many of you probably haven't celebrated Pentecost before. It may be new for you. It's not new for us at Redeemer. And it's not new historically for the church. And it's not new before that in Jewish life. Pentecost is the days after Passover. And it was called the celebration, had two names. It was called the Festival of Weeks. And it was also called the Harvest Festival. And it also called the Festival of Tents. Lots of names. And it has the history and the life of the people of God. Now, it was called the Feast of Weeks because what they did was they took Passover, the high holy day of Passover, and then they did 7 weeks. So a week of weeks. So 7 weeks. So 7 times 7 is? Hey, you're doing a great job. Y'all are really great. But we're celebrating Pentecost, right? So penta would be the word 50 in Latin. So it's the 50th day. So as they would celebrate Pentecost, as they would be celebrating the week of weeks, it would be 7 weeks of looking out and seeing the harvest being prepared. And so as they're looking out during this season of planting and growth, they are watching things come up out of the ground, and it is a bunch of promise that's coming up out of the ground. Not received promise. It is promise that's coming out of the ground. They're looking at it like, oh, soon it will be time to harvest. And so this becomes the festival of harvest as they're preparing for the harvest. And they're watching their future basically spring from the ground. And so the 7 weeks of seven was a 49 days of watching the harvest come in. It was a time of anticipation, a time of excitement. It is a time of seeing how the Lord is working in his mysterious and miraculous kinds of ways. But then came the 50th day, the day of Pentecost. It is after the harvest is done, and it is now living into the harvest. It's leaning into the harvest. And so they would come together, and they've now harvested, and now they are enjoying the Lord's provision. At this time, they would also read from the book of Ruth. If you remember the book of Ruth, Redeemer, we love the book of Ruth. We've preached through it several times. It's my favorite book to preach through. And in the book of Ruth, it is all about the harvest. And it is about how the people of God were not acting like the people of God. And in the city of Bethlehem, Bethlehem means house of bread, there was no bread. But there was this righteous family, a family in part came from a far place, Moab, a strange place, a godless place. And they are brought into the kingdom of God, and we learn about the kinsman redeemer. It's a beautiful story, and at the end of it, God provides great bounty and great harvest. And so it's a remembrance of that story and how God is our kinsman redeemer, how he brings us into the family of God. So all of these things at Pentecost are swirling around, all these pictures and all these stories and ideas. This is all swirling around as we come to this day of Pentecost. In Acts 1, 6 through 8, we see the telling of Pentecost. And it is this season in the first century in which Jesus has died, Passover, resurrected, and in the in-between days, he is spending time with his disciples, and he's telling them what this kingdom's about. And the people, the disciples don't understand. They don't understand what it's going to be like when Jesus leaves again, because he promises he's going to leave. But when he promises he's going to leave, he says, but don't worry, because I'm going to do something even better for you. They're like, I don't know what that could be. He said, I'm going to send a comforter to you. I'm going to send someone who will be with you. Even though I won't be with you, I will send somebody who will be with you. I will send the Spirit. And it doesn't quite make sense for them, but they're like, okay, we'll see what happens. So Jesus prepares the disciples in Acts 1, 6 through 8, and he tells them that he is going to leave. And when he leaves, this is actually what it says. So when they had come together, the disciples asked him, Lord, will you restore the kingdom at this time? And he says to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the most parts of the earth. I don't know if they were very excited about that answer. They surely didn't know what he was talking about. But Jesus redirects their question. They were looking for the fulfillment of his kingdom right now. But he says, the kingdom is actually not what you think it is. You think that the kingdom is Israel becoming strong again, and that they throw off the oppressors, that there is a freedom for Israel. The kingdom is much bigger than nationalism. It's much bigger than the comfort that they want to receive. Jesus redirects them and says that it's bigger than any timelines that you might have. Instead, he gives them a promise. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is not political. This is not military power. This is not cultural dominance. I want you to hear this, church. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Sometimes that's the story of the church today. But that's not the story that Jesus is telling. That's not why the Spirit was going to come. The Spirit was going to come to bring the presence of God, the power of God, and the mission of God. And the Holy Spirit came. And everything changed. The Spirit coming means God is with His people. In Acts 2, He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Pentecost is our celebration. It is now for us as believers in Christ and in the story that Jesus is unfolding. It is when we remember that the Holy Spirit fell down with tongues of fire on the disciples, and they began speaking in different languages, and people heard in different languages, and many came to faith, thousands came to faith. It was the birth of the church. That's what Pentecost is. In the Old Testament, they knew about Spirit falling, Spirit filling. They knew about this. And it looks something like this. The first time we hear about the Spirit of God coming down was when the children of Israel had left Egypt. And as they were leaving Egypt, the Spirit was represented in a pillar of fire or a pillar of smoke and led them through the wilderness. But it was more than just like directions. Can you imagine? Here you are leaving the mighty country of Egypt. These have been your oppressors. They are powerful. They have chariots. And you're walking out with unleavened bread. That's it. That's what you got. And they are hot on your heels. And so you need direction, yes. And you need the power of God that separates you from the Egyptians. Yes, you need them for that. But God's presence there reminded them that God is still in control, that He is powerful and mighty and glorious. And so His presence was good for their souls, and He was useful to them and helpful to them and providing just by having His presence there. But it doesn't take long until the children of Israel go across the Red Sea. They go to Mount Sinai, and as they're going forward, God tells them that the way that He is going to be with them is He is going to tabernacle with them. And at the end of the book of Exodus, there is a tabernacle that is built. There's a tent of meeting that is made. And at the end of Exodus, Moses is outside of the tabernacle. And the Spirit of God falls down on the tabernacle and fills this huge tent. In the beginning of Leviticus, the next chapter, then Moses gets to enter into the tabernacle and he hears from God. God's presence with His people. As the story goes, you know how it is with the children of Israel. They're always wandering away from God. People of God always wandering away from God. And so here they are with the tabernacle, and God says in the book of Numbers to put the tabernacle in the middle and to arrange the millions of people that are there in circles, to encircle the tabernacle so the tabernacle will be the presence of God right in the middle of His people. It's a beautiful picture. Can you imagine? The presence of God radiating throughout the community. They wander. Presence of God is removed for them. Finally, God allows them to enter into Jerusalem, and Solomon builds the temple. And then the story is rekindled, where the Spirit of God falls down in Jerusalem and fills the temple again. The Spirit of God, the presence of God with His people. The Spirit signified God's divine favor. It showed God's nearness to His people. He is not some idea, some faraway God, but He is present with His people. He reminds the people of God of his covenant, the promises that he keeps. But at Pentecost, something astonishing happens. In the Pentecost, in the time of Jesus, something unusual happens. Because now God no longer dwells in buildings, but he dwells in his people. It's crazy. The church becomes the dwelling place of God. Pentecost is not just about miraculous signs. It's not about tongues of fire. That's part of the story, but that's not the most significant thing. The sweeping power that dramatically changed people and saw thousands who one day thought that Jesus was nobody, and the very next day the Spirit comes, and then they believe that he is everything. Moving in people's hearts in dramatic ways. Pentecost is about bringing comfort to those who are no longer physically with Jesus. Pentecost is about the abiding presence, the living, Jason is saying, like the living presence of God with us, a communion with God, a connection, a community with God. It is also God among his people forever. The Spirit means that God is with his people. The Spirit coming means he is giving us a power for witness. Acts 1:8, he says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the further parts of the world. The Spirit of God does not create passive spectators. He creates witnesses. He creates servants. He creates missionaries. He creates courageous saints. This has been a part of God's plan from the beginning. In the book of Joel, one of the prophets spoke. He said, there is a time coming when the Spirit of God will come upon his people and the sons and daughters will prophesy. Ordinary people will be empowered and the kingdom of God will break outward. And it happens. Today, this is a living testimony of the Spirit of God among us. This is a unique group of people. A unique kind of community. Even today, I know it's a lot. But there's a reason. Pastor Linus in Kenya gave this to me, and if I'm ever going to wear it, today is going to be the day, okay? Pentecost fire. Pentecost fire and power. And I wore it today specifically. Because Wendy gave me permission to. But secondly, because if you know Pastor Linus, he is my best friend in Africa. And many of you are best friends in Africa. And he's an educated guy, graduated from schools and master's degree, couple master's degrees. And he could do anything that he wanted. He lives in a poor country. What would you do? Probably get the best job you could, but that's not what Linus did. Linus said, I am going to move into the slums outside of Limuru, and I'm going to make these people my people. He didn't have to do that. In fact, if his dad was still alive, his dad would probably say, you better not do that. Like, you spent all this time and energy, but you're going to go and minister among them. And yes, and he went there as a single man. And it's hard to find a wife who says, oh, yeah, live in the slums? I'll choose that. But he chose that. Why would someone choose something like that? Because the Holy Spirit works in his people for sacrificial service. That's what we become. And he saw an opportunity for the kingdom to expand in that dark place. And it was a dark place. And what has God done there? Well, God has brought him a wife and brought him children. and brought him a house, and he has started a ministry there. He started a church, and the church cares for the community, and it overflowed into the community, so they had a feeding program. The feeding program became a small school, became a medium school, it became a huge school with almost 400 students. And now they're building a big building. That is kingdom kind of stuff. That's Pentecost kind of stuff. Amen. That's good stuff. Where does that happen? The pastor was on a plane. I heard him telling this story. As you are on the plane, sometimes you start hearing a little bit more about what the other person's doing. And she, the lady said, what do you do for a living? He said, well, I work for a really multi-global organization. So, yeah, really? Tell me about it. Well, he said, we have locations in every country in the world. I said, well, that's impressive. Yeah. What kind of work do you do? Oh, well, we do, we're pretty diversified. We have hospitals and we have rehab centers. We see more marriages that were broken resolved than any other organization in the world. So, impressive. We also own more land and have more buildings than any other organization in the world. She goes, whew, that's impressive. He goes, yeah. And we have billions of people who are under contract and work for us. She said, wow, have I heard of this place? He goes, yeah, it's the church. The Lord, the Spirit of God, is doing amazing things in our world through people like you and me. I mean, isn't that the amazing part of it? He uses people like us for His glory to see things that you could never imagine. This is Pentecost. What does it look like here? Not a lot of hype. I want to tell you, not a lot of performance, not a lot of celebrity. But what it looks like, the kingdom of God advancing, Pentecost happening among us, it looks like this. It looks like meals delivered quietly. People serving in construction all week. I really was hoping, Gary, I was really hoping that Brett would be here today. He has work in his other church. So they work for Covenant, and they did a lot of the stuff that you see here. And they're believers, and like they were hopeful for this. That if you saw up here before this paint job, you would have seen things written on the board that we had written. But before we wrote anything, the sheetrockers wrote stuff up there, wrote their own verses up there, because they were believers as well. And this was a labor of love for them. I don't know that Covenant did work very well financially after all the other work that had to happen here, but they were here consistently working as men of God to make all of this happen because they're sacrificial servants. And they're not members of our church, but they are members of the church. This is Pentecost. Pentecost is parents raising children in the Lord. It is missionaries being sent out. Missionaries. It is Sunday school teachers. It's saints visiting in the nursing home next week. It's believers entering into the jail and telling them there's good news on the other side and on the inside. It's pastor training in East Africa. This is Pentecost. It's people in this room who have given generously for things like this, for missions and ministry, have given sacrificially, and like Jessica, want no applause. I want to tell you, friends, this is not normal. This is not normal. I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit's here. That's good news. He's doing something in us that we would not have done on our own. Praise the Lord. This is Pentecost. I know the world sometimes does good things, but they're not keeping up. The church is something different, a spirit-filled people participating in the very life of God together. In Philippians 2, 1 through 4, we've been going, if you're not with, haven't been with us, we're going through the book of Philippians, learning what it is to be a spirit church. And in, what we see in chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, there's this list of things, and one of the lists says that if there is any participation in the Spirit, participation in the Spirit. This word participation is in Greek, one word we've talked about before, it's the word koinonia. And we don't have a very good definition for it in English, but it basically feels like this. We usually say fellowship. So your translation may say fellowship in the Spirit. But it's more than fellowship. It's more like when we think about fellowship, we think about those coffee, that coffee and donuts, which is awesome back there. But it's more than that. It is sacrificial service. It's giving of your life away. And it is in the Spirit. See, that's what the Spirit of God does in us. He is moving us to different, to a greater length to give our lives away. It is a fellowship that's not based on hobbies and politics and demographics and preferences. I took an urban church seminar at seminary. I won't mention the seminary. It wasn't the finest hour. And I was so excited, like, we're going to talk about being in the inner city with people, and we're doing the fight and the fight and doing all this. And they said, well, you know, birds of a feather flock together. So if you want to have a multi-ethnic church or multi-economic church, you can just forget it, because birds of a feather flock together. Man, I got so mad. I said, but you know what? When we became believers in Christ Jesus, we became different birds, didn't we? So we are birds of the same feather. But we may not look alike, we may not come from the same backgrounds, but we have the same Savior. This is Pentecost. Our fellowship is built on a shared surrender to Christ, a shared suffering together, a shared mission, a shared service. Summer missionaries, as you're going to work this summer, you're going to expend yourselves in ways you never thought you had before. Some of you are second timers. God bless you. You know what you're going into. But for others, as you come, this is a huge work. When we ask you to pray for them, we really want you to pray for them, because they're going to be pushed and pulled further. You can only be nice for so long. Y'all who, right? Pierre, you only can be nice for so long. You only have so much niceness in you. And after 3 or 4 weeks, there's no more niceness left. You've had to deal with each other. You've had to deal with your leaders. You've had to deal with these kids. And you had to deal with their parents and administrators. And you don't have any more nice in you. And if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, it's going to get ugly. So spend time with Him. Enjoy His presence. Remember His presence in you, and that He is going to do something greater. And rely on Him. Let Him be your strength. The Spirit-filled church becomes a community where people count others more significant than themselves. Where neighbors share the gospel with each other. Where burdens are carried together. Where comfort is interrupted for the sake of love. Where self-interest dies, where Christ-like humility grows. This is supernatural. This is Pentecost. And today, why did we do all these things? We did all these things. You know, this is not the most efficient service we've ever had. But it is the embodiment of what we're talking about. We have baptisms today, lives that are changed. We have missionaries that are being sent out. We are going to take the Lord's Supper and remember Jesus' presence with us. We've seen the abundance of generosity and the hard work of others. We've seen a building transformed into a place of worship. We have new people who are entering into the church and a people who are serving without recognition. None of this is cheap. It costs. It costs time. It costs your comfort. It costs your money. It costs your tears, your patience. And it will cause you to be inconvenient. But we give freely because he gave to us freely. Finally, the Spirit of God builds a kingdom kind of people, a kind of people who are devoted and generous, growing in their holiness and their witness and their joy. The same Spirit who filled the upper room, the same Spirit who empowered the apostles and birthed the church, sent missionaries out, who comforted sufferers and united believers, who compelled those in the first century to sell their possessions and give to others, that same Spirit is here among us. Can you see it? We've seen it today in baptisms, missionaries, those who have served, a transformed worship center. Pentecost is not something we merely remember. It is who we are. Church, this is what happens when the Spirit of God fills a people. Selfish people become servants. Fearful people become courageous witnesses. Strangers become family. And ordinary acts become holy acts. This is a fellowship that the world cannot manufacture. This is the church. Imperfect as it is, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.